Good morning, church family. It's a beautiful day. It's a good start to the new year. A lot of changes this year for our church and our school, and while we have a certain amount of anxiety and apprehension about the future, we walk in faith, and we know that God's going to provide perfect answers for our church. There's a few announcements that I'd like to highlight in the bulletin. The first one, of course, is we have a church business meeting coming up on January 13. So that is just around the corner. That's a Sunday. It's printed in the bulletin at 9 a.m., but in fact, it is at 10 a.m. So that will be Sunday the 13th at 10 a.m. That is the opportunity for us to interact with the conference president, Romero Cano. He will be coming up to solicit our input on what kind of characteristics and attributes our wish list for our new pastor. So I would encourage all of you to come. He has a difficult job as well to try to match people with congregations, and we want to help him by letting him know what our priorities are. And so you individually, I would invite you to come and talk to him. He'll have a survey that he will hand out, so you'll have the opportunity to put your feedback in written form or in spoken form, but I would highly encourage you to come, and that'll be, again, Sunday the 13th at 10. Camp Wawona still needs some, they're still planning an extended work bee of sorts, and that's on January 27th through the 30th, which is a Sunday through Wednesday. The information's in the bulletin. If you have the opportunity and have time to help even for part of that time, the camp has been a wonderful resource and has helped us during our remodel with a lot of elbow grease and talent, so we would like to return the favor as much as possible. And again, I would just like to mention the women's retreat, which is around the corner, the 25th through the 27th. The details are in the bulletin, so please take a look and check on those details. Church is a time of fellowship, so as we begin to worship the hour, I would like to invite everyone to stand up, step outside your comfort zone, greet somebody that you haven't seen in a week or so, and say hello for a minute or two. Well, it's wonderful to have a moment to greet each other and give each other hugs. That's what Christian fellowship is all about. That's what family's all about. And we can continue our fellowship after church service with our potluck luncheon, which is down at Holbrook Hall. So again, if you see a visitor, somebody wandering around looking forlorn, make sure that you take them by the hand and invite them for lunch. We always have plenty of food, and so we welcome everyone to come join us at potluck. Whether you brought something or not, you're certainly welcome to come join us. There's one other announcement I'd like to make from the Anzai family. As you know, Diane Anzai is suffering from serious illness and is not doing well. And they appreciate visitors, but it's overwhelming. And so they would invite visitors or ask the visitors call before they come so that they can have some sort of order not be inundated by the outpouring of love that the church has shown, but they also need a little bit of control for that too. So if you'd like to go see Diane, you're welcome to do that, but please give the family a call before coming over to make sure that we don't overwhelm them. Shall we bow our head as we prepare to enter our worship hour? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you have made for us. We thank you for the warm sunshine and the break from the rain and the snow. And we're grateful, Lord, that we are here together as a family. And we step out in faith, awaiting your perfect answer for the questions that are before our church and our school. We know that you have blessed our church and our school throughout the years, and especially throughout this last year. And we count on that blessing to continue through faith. And we just pray that we would have open hearts, that we would listen to your still small voice so that when you give us that perfect answer, we hear it and embrace it in the knowledge that you have never left our side and never will. Please be with us throughout this worship hour, throughout this week. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's our opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of what he has given to us. This week's offering is for a local church budget, which, as we know, supports, of course, all of the utilities in the church, but also supports the many ministries and outreaches that our church is involved with every day. So would the deacons please rise? Our Father in heaven, again we come to you in prayer. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless the offerings that we offer forth to you now. May they multiply and do the work, Lord. May they be blessed, and may they go toward winning souls for the kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's not in the bulletin, but we do have a special story for our young people. So it's time for the children's story. So if, kids, you want to come up, we have a guest speaker. We have Miranda all the way from Southern in Tennessee as our guest storyteller. She's got something really special. So come on up.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good? Well, what do I have in my hand? Can you guys tell me? How many of you guys have a lunchbox? Yeah? Did your mom and dad put lots of goodies in it? Yeah. Well, this lunchbox has a very special story attached to it. Because this lunchbox was owned by a little boy named Brian. Now, Brian, he always went to the lunchroom a little late because he didn't really want anyone to see him. Because his family, his dad had just lost his job, and his parents couldn't really afford nice goodies that we normally get in our lunchboxes. And he just slowly was eating, And he would hear jeering and stuff, but he didn't notice it. And unnoticed to him, there were some boys staring at him. Now, these boys, they were best friends. And they all ate lunch together, and they were having tons of fun eating all their goodies. And then one of the boys, Chris, he said, "Oh, look at Brian. What in the world is he doing? Why is he sitting all the way all by himself?" Well, Ryan, one of the other boys, said, "Well, he's had a really rough time. My dad told me that his parents, his dad just lost his job." And they were just all talking, and then Chris said, "Well, ha ha," and he started laughing and teasing Ryan. Ryan didn't like this too much, but he didn't say too much because he didn't want to, you know, be the odd one out. And so Chris said, "I've got an idea. Tomorrow, let us go and steal his lunchbox. I wonder what's in it." And all the boys were like, yeah, that sounds like lots of fun. So they all ran outside for recess, and Ryan slowly tiptoed and went to play soccer with the boys, but he had his own ideas of what he would do. So the next day, the boys came, and they knew Ryan always went to the classroom first, so they knew they wouldn't have no trouble stealing his lunchbox because it already would be there hiding by the wall. So they went, and they looked inside, and there was just a piece of cheese and apple. That's not a lot, is it? For lunch? How would you like to eat that for lunch? I'd be hungry, huh? Well, then Chris is like, "Let's take this out and put rocks in it." Yeah, all the boys except Ryan. And so the boys went, and they got rocks and put it in his lunchbox. That's not very nice, is it? No, not at all. And they all ran inside and left the lunchbox with lots of rocks. Well, Ryan stayed behind. Guess what Ryan did? He told his mom that morning that he wanted two lunches. And his mom was like, why? Why do you want two lunches? And he told him. He told his mom. And she's like, of course, of course. So she gave him lots of goodies. So Ryan, as the boys left, he took the rocks out and he put a whole new lunch in there. And he put it inside. Now, that was going to be a big surprise at recess, right? So all the boys were looking and ready, waiting. Ryan, Chris, and all the boys were watching Brian as he was opening his lunchbox. And they were like, oh, look at his face, look at his face. And like, then they all kind of started watching. And they're like, wait a minute, that's not rocks. And everyone's like, who did that? Who did that? And Chris was going, you know, I'm kind of glad it didn't see rocks. I was starting to feel real bad. And all the other boys were like, yeah, me too. I'm really glad. Who did that? Who put all those goodies in his box? And everyone looked at Ryan. And Ryan's like, I did. And they all like, good job, Ryan. Way to go. And then, you know what they did? They all went over to Brian and said, hey, how are you? Do you like your lunch? And they went outside and played soccer. And all those boys became really close friends. And you know, that's a really good lesson for us. You know, sometimes it's really fun to play tricks, right, on people. But instead of playing tricks that are mean, let us play tricks of kindness and give them something that will surprise them for love and not for evil. All right? So you guys can go get your baskets now.
Will you please stand? And we're going to pray a little differently this morning. I'm going to sing and invite you to sing with me, Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, we need thee. Come sweet Spirit, we pray. Come with thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with joy in our hearts. And Lord, we come confessing our sin. As you have told us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we praise you for your mercy, for your forgiveness, and we come boldly before your throne of grace to receive your mercy in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. I invite each of you to join with two or three other people, and we will be praying together at different times when you're invited to do so.
Good morning, church family. Let us open up with a text of praise about what God has done for us. As 1 Chronicles 16:34 through 36 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God, for our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. Let us pray as a group.
We invite you to pray together. First, we are going to give adoration to God for who he is. Please pray. Now we invite you to pray, thanking God for what he has done for us as a human race, how he sent his son to give his life for each one of us.
Our next prayer time will be for supplication for a new pastor and a new teacher. I have a few texts I want to read to you first, though. The first one is found in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And lastly, one of my favorite promises. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Let us pray for the pastor. Now let us pray for a new teacher. Amen. Thank you for praying, and please continue praying at home for a new pastor and a new teacher. And Ed will conclude.
We'd like to give thanks in all things and always to our God. I want to read just a couple of verses here in Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyful to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyful to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. And in Psalms 100, it is he who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. So I'd like to invite you now in your groups to pray and thank the Lord for the way he has led in the past, the things that he has done for us, and the way he will continue to lead us in the future. And then I'll close with a final prayer together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for all that you do. You've created this earth so many years ago for everyone that has ever lived, even us here today. Wow. What wonderful plans that you have. We thank you for the way you have led this church in the past. The school and the church has been here for 75 years and been in this community, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your love, your patience. We thank you for your kindness, your forgiveness. We thank you for our church family, our school family. We thank you for the current pastor and one of the school teachers that have been here and been part of our family, and as they move on, we pray your continued guidance to be with them. We thank you that you have sent us other school teachers and pastors in the past, and we know that you have something in plan for us for the future. We thank you for looking out for our future. We thank you that we can be a family, and even though at times, Lord, we sometimes offend each other, sometimes we offend you, you still forgive us. And so I pray that we can forgive one another as well. We thank you that we can bond together and have a special prayer time with you. We thank you that we can come directly to you at all times, in all things, and in all ways. And so as this church goes and school goes in this community, we know that it's important to you, and so we ask again that you will continue to bless and to lead. Thank you for being our rock. Thank you for being our friend. Just thank you. In Jesus' loving name, amen.
Good morning. How are you today? Well, the last 2 weeks I've been homeless. I couldn't be a dentist even if I wanted to be. My office, it's been an interesting journey the last 5 or 6 months. About early July, I was talking with Steve's dad at camp meeting. I was talking to Doug, and I said, Doug, would you be interested in helping me remodel a building so I can move in? And so, he's been doing that. And so on the 20th, we closed our office and tore it apart. And I've been there for 20 years, so it's been pretty, kind of got used to it. And now there's a change. And I think some of our church members were the first ones to get to experience it. Miranda got to get her teeth cleaned in the new office yesterday, and that was fun. So yesterday I spent the day in Fresno looking for handicap signs. Things weren't going exactly the way I wanted them to. Callie and I were running all over town. Does anybody know where to buy handicap signs in Fresno? Well, if you ever need one, I know right where to get one fast. It's called Fast Signs. It's right down by 99 on Shaw. So if you ever need one. And I have a little story I want to tell you before we get started this morning. There's a story about this school teacher, and she was helping one of her little students get his boots on. It was cold in winter, and he was getting ready to go home. And so she was helping him get the boots on, and they pulled those boots on, and they were so hard to get on. And once they got them on, he looked at her and he goes, "They're on the wrong feet." And so she took those boots off, and they were so hard to get off. And so she got the boots off, and then she put them on the right feet, and it was just as hard to get them on the second time. She got them all the way on, and then he goes, "Those are my brother's boots." And so she pulled them off again and got them all the way off. And then he said, "And my mom told me to wear those boots today." And so she goes, "Oh my goodness." And so she put them back on again on the right feet the third or fourth time. And then she goes, "Okay, where are your mittens so you can go home?" "I stuffed them in my boots." I laughed so hard when I heard that story. It just made me think, when things aren't going right, sometimes you just gotta be flexible. And I thought, you know, for today, I thought it might be kind of fun, just it's first week in January, might be kind of fun just to talk a little bit about where your life might go this year. I know where my life's going this year. I'm going to be super busy at work. But let's turn to Hebrews 12 together. We're going to read a few verses together. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. So let's just read those together. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin." I personally think that is one of the most concise descriptions of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. But I'd like to look at some of the key phrases in here. So if we go back to verse 1, it says, "Therefore," and we're not going to read chapter 11, but chapter 11 is the therefore, or the wherefore if you're reading the King James. The therefore, there's so many examples. If you know, this afternoon, take some time to just go read Hebrews 11. It's just an amazing chapter. It has so much in it for us to understand. But he says, therefore, and then he says this term. He says, "Lay aside every encumbrance." Well, The Greek for encumbrance is like a protuberance. And I have a bit of one of those. A bit. And I think this year I might lay that aside. It's weight. It's something that slows us down. You know what I notice that the most? Is when I try to keep up with my kids when I'm backpacking. And it's not just because of my age, but it's because I'm carrying more of a backpack. And so God tells us to lay aside those things. Is there something holding you back? Is something slowing you down? Only God and you talk about these things, but talk about those. Is there something slowing you down? It also says to get untangled from sin. Untangled. Have you ever been caught in a spider web? Had one of those just come across your face? It's like, ooh, I got to get that thing off of there. That's kind of what, it kind of traps things. Have you ever, did you ever do this when you were little? Did you ever catch something and throw it in a spider web and watch it get tangled? Yeah, okay. Matt and I are on the same team. It's interesting to watch. How can a spider climb on a web, but nobody else can? It's kind of an interesting thing. So sin is kind of like a spider web. And the Bible has a couple of definitions for sin that I like. One of them, it says in 1 John 3:4, it says that sin is the transgression of the law, or sin is lawlessness. And there's another definition for sin, and it's found in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Look at this. This is a very interesting definition. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. I've always thought that was a very interesting definition for sin. I think sin, many times, is just acting our life out outside of the realm of faith. It's acting our life out without Jesus in our life. Just going through your life. Have you ever found your life to be really chaotic when you do that? I have. I know it's been that way for me. But when we act out our life with Jesus in our life, then we have freedom to live an active life for him. The next phrase is, it says to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And it is a race. And we need to prepare for it, and we need to pace ourselves. Because if you run all at once, you will burn out. So God gives us, if we could go back to Hebrews for a minute, to Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 12, verse 3, he gives us the answer. Here's the answer. It's very simple. It says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not go weary and lose heart. I think that word consider is a very, very interesting word for us to consider. When we look to Jesus and we consider him, and we fix our eyes on him, then things are different. Because Jesus is that author and finisher of our faith, and he did endure the cross. So the word consider means to, I'm going to think this one over, or I'm going to contemplate, or I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to ponder. I don't know if you've ever been out in the high country and had this happen to you, but I have this happen to me very frequently, and it's one of the things that draws me out there is that one time I was sitting on this mountain, and I'm looking around, and I'm just going, this is just amazing. And just look around and think. Or when I go up to Mariposa Grove, this is amazing. I love to sit and just look at those trees and just keep looking and looking and looking as they go up 300 feet in the air. It's just amazing to think about. Because when we consider all of those things, it helps us to have endurance. It's what powers me up in life. Because if you just try to do it on your own forever, sooner or later you're going to run out of gas. So I think it's a it's an interesting thing for us to take the time to look at Jesus' life. Look at what he really did for us. Look at what he's done doing for us each day. Stop a little bit and pray during the day and take some time so you won't lose heart. Because it's New Year's, I thought I'm going to look up the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Guess what number one is? Protuberance. Weight. Lose weight. That's it. Lay aside. What do you think number two is? Be happy? Oh, that's way down the list. The number one is to get organized. It's just amazing how much stuff I threw away this last 2 weeks. I'm amazed. How about number three? What would you think number three would be? It's one I didn't follow. Spend less and save more. Building a dental office, that's not the way to do that. How about enjoy life? That was number four. Who said that before, the enjoy life? Number five, get more fit and be more healthy. That's a good thing. Number six, what do you think number six would be? You have any ideas? Oh, that's number seven. Number six is to learn something new and exciting, which you're going to have the opportunity to do. Actually, number seven is to quit smoking. I was surprised that was way down at number seven, weren't you? I think that would be, I guess that means less people are smoking, right? Or maybe people that smoke really don't want to quit smoking. I really haven't met anybody that didn't want to quit smoking. And number eight was to help someone else with their dreams. I thought that was kind of cool. It's way down the list. Most of the top part of the list are helping ourselves, right? Number nine is to fall in love. Why does that make you laugh? It made me laugh too. It's just like, fall in love. How can you? Okay, that was just funny. And then actually number 10 was more time with family. I think it should be switched around, don't you? That we should be looking at helping others instead of helping ourselves. I think that would be good. I want to give you four opportunities for New Year's resolutions based on what we've looked at. I would suggest that each day this year that you take some time to consider Jesus Christ. Take a little time each day to take a break, stop and pray, read his word, and listen for his voice from his spirit. That would be my first New Year's resolution for you. The second thing would be to contemplate a little bit of change in your life. Because none of us are perfect, right? At least not yet. But when we get to heaven, we will be. But right now, I'm sure there might be a little bit of change that might be appropriate. And if there is a change, only God and you can do that together. No one else can make you change. Sometimes people can tell you to change, but it's just not a change thing, doesn't happen. But also, along with change comes action. And so if you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at a couple of verses there. Let's see, we have to jump forward to 1 Corinthians 12. I think it was at verse 8 or 10. Do you have that, John Mark? Is that John Mark up there? All right. Go to, if you could bring that up on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for me. Okay. You see that? It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Did you know that God gave every one of you something that you can do that will benefit our Christian family and those around us? So, as you consider change, if God decides to give you a new gift this year, I would just encourage you as number two to consider putting it into action. Usually, a gift is something that comes pretty good to us. I mean, God gave it to you because he knew you could use it. So if God gives you a gift, take advantage of it and put it into action. And that leads to number three. Number three is to have compassion. So the first C is to consider Jesus each day. The second one is to contemplate a change in your life. And the third is to look around and see if you can put that gift into action by having some compassion for another person. While my office was taken apart this week, I had an interesting experience. A lady came to see me. Her husband had helped with the electrical work in the office. And she came in and she says, "I just need you to look at this tooth of mine." And it was just broken off. There was nothing I could do. But that isn't what she wanted me to tell her. But what she wanted me to tell her was that there was hope for her teeth. And fortunately, I could tell her that. That she only had one tooth that was not a fixable tooth. And she goes, "Oh, I'm so glad you told me that there's hope for my teeth." See, guys, she hadn't been to the dentist for like 10 years. And so how can you know if your teeth are going to make it or not if you haven't been there for a long time? And so she was just so excited. And so I was able to experience that really cool feeling of being giving somebody hope. And it's a neat thing to be able to do that. And there are people that God is going to bring across your path this next week or this next month for you to give the opportunity to have hope. And that was one thing that I really noticed about Steve's dad, Doug, as he was working. He never missed an opportunity to talk to other people about God. I am amazed. In fact, he made friends with one of the construction people in a way that I was just amazed that he was able to do that. And I really learned a lot by watching your dad. He is an amazing person. And it was the coolest thing to watch him develop a relationship with this person and just be just a kind and gentle person and befriend somebody that was lonely. And I just really thought that was cool. Something that is in Hebrews chapter 12 that I think is important to remember is that we need to have that compassion for other people. And we need to remember that we haven't resisted sin to the point of shedding blood yet. Has anybody in this room ever shed blood because they resisted sin? I just want to make sure I'm not putting you on the spot. But okay, nobody's done that yet. I know that some people have given their life for freedom, and I appreciate that very much, but I haven't had to do that. But you know what? We have an opportunity. Here's number four that I'd want to suggest to you. This is the fourth C. Okay, what was the first one? Consider Jesus, right? The second one was to consider, contemplate change, right? Number three was to compassion on someone else. Number four is community, and that's us right here in this room. Right now, we are in a state of change, and so I think, or let's say, I'm not going to say it that way, I'm going to say, I want to encourage you to help each person realize how important they are in our Christian community this year. Because I think being a part of a community involves encouragement and acknowledging one another. And while we're in transition with a number of things, I think that's even more important. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And I read this phrase a couple of months ago, and it really struck me strongly. And the phrase was, "Thank you for not judging me because I sin differently than you do." And I thought, whoa, that's really powerful. How about if we just encourage someone to be apart and grow together. And We all have needs, and during this time, we all need to be, maybe have our little sensors up to be aware of those needs a little bit more. Because together as a community, we have a greater impact than by ourselves. Because communities of one only can impact one person. But communities of 100 or 200 can impact people in many, many ways that we can't do otherwise. So I want to encourage that. So the first one is consider Jesus. The second one is to contemplate a change or a gift. The third is to have compassion. And the fourth is to realize that Christian community happens because we make it happen. Mother Teresa, I don't know who posted this on Facebook, but I saw it yesterday and it really touched my heart. This is a quote from Mother Teresa. Help one person at a time and always start with the person that's nearest you. So you don't have to go far. I know next month we'll be traveling to Honduras to help some people down there. But there's people right next to us. People right close by that we can help. Because Christianity is attractive. Can you put Philippians 1:21 up there for me, please? Philippians 1:21. We all should memorize this. Let's memorize it right now. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's remember that first part. For to me, to live is Christ. That was Paul's motto in life. He's, in another passage it says, be imitators of me as I am also of Christ. Just be like Christ. And the only way we can do that is to let Christ be in us. I want to tell you one last little story. And I learned this a long time ago in college. There was this doctor, and he was studying in the laboratory, and he was studying heart cells. And so he took some heart muscle, and he took some individual cells, and he put them in a special solution. What would that solution be, Marlon, that you could grow heart cells in the laboratory so you could look at them beating? I can't remember it either. I thought you would, because you remember everything. Sorry, I caught you off guard there. But anyway, he was studying heart muscle and watching heart muscles beat. And he noticed that if heart muscles were by themselves in this petri dish, that he looked at them under a microscope, and every heart muscle had its own beat. Because heart muscle, that's just what heart muscle does. It just contracts. It just has it in it to do, that's what it does. And so he noticed also that if you got two heart muscle cells together, they weren't beating at the same time. But when they touched together, that it reset the clock of the two of them, and then they started to beat in harmony with one another. And so he noticed that if he did that again, that all of a sudden, all three of the heart cells would beat at the same rate, and that something changed. And so there's some sort of communication going on there and some connection. And what that meant to me was that, if I made a spiritual application to that, was that if we all reach out and connect to Jesus and get to the master power source, and that will reset our time to his time, his power, his current. And then if we connect up with another church member, or like if we were to all join hands together, we'd be all connected. In fact, one time when I was in high school, this friend of my dad's, he had a voltmeter, and I don't know if you ever tried this trick, it's kind of interesting. I was going to have you get your voltmeter out today, but anyway, he had his wife hold it, and then one current, and he held the other one, and there was a certain amount of current, and then they kissed each other, and there was more current. And it changes the voltage. And so when we connect up with Jesus Christ, it changes our timing in life. It changes our direction in life. And for some people, it might be a fantastic change. For other people, it might be a little change. But whatever it is, it's called that harmonious action that happens in our life. And that's the coolest thing about Christianity, because you might be working over here doing something for someone. Another person might be working over here. And let's just say that someone happens to come into your business and you have an opportunity to share with them. And then they come over to another business and the other person in our church has an opportunity to share with them. God is the orchestrator of all that. And God puts all those timings together. But God asks us to hook up with him and to consider him each day so that we can be in tune with him. And that would be something that I think would be a really cool thing for us to do. So let's connect with Jesus this year, and let's connect with our family, and let's connect with our community. And so I would like to close with a special prayer to that purpose today. So let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, you know each one of our hearts and how we're beating right now. And Lord, you know, because we're here, we want to beat in harmony with you. And so as we begin this year, I know it's just 1 week into this year, we just want to beat with purpose for you this year. And we want to beat with a purpose that other people can see is harmonious, to lift you up and to live like you're living right through us. And so I just want to pray a blessing for each person this morning, that your blessing would go with us from this house today, that as others see our lives beating, they would see us as a harmonious light for you and our community this year. Lord, give us courage to speak your love to other people. Give us power from your word to change our lives. And give us compassion for others. And Lord, give us patience and consideration for one another. And Lord, we just ask that as we go through this day, that you would put a smile on our face that can't be wiped off because of all you've done for us. Thank you for cleansing us from sin. Thank you for powering us up. And thank you for giving us a purpose in life. And so today we just ask these things because you are our power source. Power us up, Lord, and take us safely through our next phase of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.